light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're mine. Sin upon that cross, I'll never know how much it cost to see my
good morning. And welcome to all of you. It is good to be gathered here this morning for our worship service. We say a special welcome to any guests we might have this morning. We're glad to have you here with us. I do have a few things just to highlight from the bulletin and several others to make some announcements. But one is, it was mentioned that Wednesday the Missions Committee has an organizational meeting directly following prayer meeting Wednesday night. So if you're on that committee, please make plans to attend that night. And also, I don't think this is going to throw anybody off. I don't think it would, but the bake sale is Saturday, May the 9th. So if it threw you off, I just mentioned that real quick. It says May 8th. It's actually Saturday, May 9th. I know when you saw Saturday, you would know Saturday, but we're just going to mention that to you anyway. And also, this upcoming Saturday, you saw mentioned that Shad Welch and Beth Horn will be married, and I know they would appreciate your attendance this upcoming Saturday, so if you could make plans to be here for that time of celebration. Any announcements this morning? Patrick, you said you had a few things you wanted to mention.
Good morning. If you just looking, keep the bulletin close by and check it for coming events. It has some of the things that are happening with the young people and for adults as well. Our children retreat is May 16th and 15th and 16th. It's a Friday night and Saturday. It's ages 6 through 5th grade. I would like for all of our kids ages 6 through 5th grade to come. We might have to get a different campground, but we have a lot of kids that age. But applications in the hallway. Moms and dads, you are welcome to come. If your kids might be, you know, a little scared to come by on their own, come with them and have a blast with us. But next Sunday, I need the application so I can order T-shirts and have all that stuff organized so all the children and kids can get their shirts on time. Also, May 30th is our fishing tournament. Just like it always is, be here. by 11:30 for the weigh-in, and we're going to have fried fish and for lunch that day. And, of course, everyone's welcome to come eat and look at the fish that are caught. But we also have prizes for the kids in the fishing tournament. And May 31st, we'll have a youth dinner. It's our fifth Sunday youth dinner that we have every fifth Sunday. So if you have any questions on any of this, especially the spring retreat, if you'd like to volunteer for the spring retreat, you know, come and cook, come and be a volunteer. Hey, I'm easy to find. So come and see me. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. Any other announcements? Shannon? Thanks, Shan.
Again,
all right, Shan. Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? Scott?
I just want to let everybody know our men's class is back on schedule now. Tuesday evening with Trey at 7:30 and Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock. So just want to let everybody know we've kind of been off schedule. But anyway, remind everybody that you see that.
Thank you, Scott. Any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Any praises? All right, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for all you've blessed us with. We thank you for watching over us and caring for us and providing for us throughout this week and bringing us here safely together this morning. And as always, we simply ask, Lord, you would prepare us for this time, prepare our hearts and our minds, and make us receptive to your word this morning. And I do pray that whatever we say and do would bring you honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Certainly a lovely day as we have today. It is the Lord's Day, and we certainly say we are gathered together as a family of God, and it's the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. With that thought, join with me in the call to worship, the bond of love, followed by hymn number 228. Let's stand together and worship the Lord in song at this time. The bond of love, followed by 228. Join in. Lord is King, joining together and singing all four verses. Rejoice up.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we first of all thank you for your goodness to us, your love and your mercy and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. We know today that you are alive and you have given us a responsibility to spread that message to others, that you are alive and you have redeemed mankind, that you are coming again to return for those who have accepted you as Savior. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be faithful in carrying out that message. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us. As we give this portion back, we just ask that you would bless it and use it for your honor, for your glory, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Continue our fellowship together in singing those glorious songs of the redeemed. We invite you to turn with us to hymn number 526. Number 526, All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus. As we sing this number again today, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship. And then following this, right before Pastor Wall's message, the Brent Lane family will share a special selection. Pray for them as they come to sing. In the meantime, stand together, worship the Lord, and sharing together, who can cheer my heart like Jesus? Joining together, let us sing. Thank you, church. You may be seated.
That was no coincidence. The Lord has blessed y'all.
I found myself thinking about a story that I told before, but it's a story about how well that God Rosen Marventhal's book, Israel, My Glory, and the story goes that back in the day when they took census, but when you had to go to door to door, and this one census taker had gone door to door, been a long day, he'd been out in the country, so everywhere he went, it was a long drive, then a stop. Anyways, one more house to do, he knocks on the door, the lady comes to the door, and You know, he runs through the questions that they have to ask for the census. And finally he gets, well, you know, how many children do you have? And she said, well, there's William and there's Harry and there's Martha. And he'd had a long day. Remember, he's tired and he's white. So he interrupts like, look, I don't need to know their names. I just want to know the number. She'd kind of had a rough day too. And she said, well, they don't have numbers. They've got names. You know, the truth is God looks at it. We're not a number to God. And I love that, don't you? It's not like, okay, you know, God looks at some sort of social security number from heaven, and that's who I... No, God knows me. But what I was thinking about this week was God knows me, and he still loves me. With everything that I am not, with all of my rough edges, God still loves me. To me, that's a powerful thought. I mean, who are we? We're God's people. We are created by God, redeemed by God, for God. That's who we are. And if ever you want to wonder why on earth you are on this earth, then Jesus, well, he clears up all of the speculation with a few short words. And we find those words in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Now, Jesus, this is part of the temptation narrative where, you know, Satan's there. He's been fasting 40 some odd days and Satan is tempting Jesus. And this is one of the last ones of the temptations that's recorded for us. And by the way, you know, Satan can tempt us, but he cannot make us do anything. All right, let's just be clear about that. I know, and Satan's good at what he does, by the way. And so the temptations can be strong and they can be intense, but we don't have to succumb to them. All right, so let's just be clear. And Jesus then gives us the way out, by the way. Okay, so we can't just blame it on Satan. I mean, I know we'd like to, wouldn't we? I'd like to say, God, it's not my fault. You know, it's that stupid Satan. I don't know why you ever created him, but he's caused me a lot of mess, okay? See, God says that don't work. God says, no, there's a way out every time there's a temptation for you. That's not going to work with me. No, you're responsible for what you do, okay? And so Jesus is being tempted here. And it says that again, the devil took him or Jesus to a very high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written. And here it is. You want to know why you exist today? Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Boom, that's it. That captures it all. People want to say, I don't know why I even exist. Well, I'll tell you, you exist to worship God and to serve God, and I believe the order is important. People out there that are trying to serve God without worshiping God aren't going to do much, okay? Because it all begins in worship. A story is told about Bobby Bowden, the former coach of Florida State football team. And I don't care whether you like him or you don't like him. It doesn't really matter. The story's pretty good, and it's spot on. The story is he often told these motivational speeches, you know, to his team. But one day he told the team this story about how that he was in college playing baseball, and he had never, ever hit a home run. And that particular day, he hit a ball down the right field line, and so he takes off. He says, it's going to be a double at least. And so he gets there, and he rounds first, and he heads for second. And when he gets to second, the coach is waving him, come on, come on. And so he rounds second and heads to third, and he can't believe the coach is sending him home. He don't know what happened. He just knows something must have happened out there, but they're sending him home. And he gets home, and he's safe. And, I mean, he said, I'm jumping up and down. He said, because I had never hit a home run before. And now I hit an inside-the-park home run. He said his teammates are congratulating him. He said the pitcher gets the ball back, throws it over to first. The first baseman goes over and steps on first, and the umpire says, you're out! He missed first base. And his point was, men, young men, he said, if you don't take care of first base, nothing else matters. I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe worship is our first base. And if we don't get it right, if we don't take care of worship, if we don't do it right, then nothing else that we try to do is going to matter. In fact, there are some out there that go so far to say that everything about us hinges on how we worship. Not just the spiritual stuff, you know, like praying and Bible study and witnessing and that kind of stuff, but the kind of person you are, whether you're a good parent or a good spouse, everything hinges on worship. And isn't it amazing when you start talking to people? I mean, if it all hinges, worship the Lord your God, serve him, if it all hinges on that, and yet you start talking to folks about what worship is, and wow, what you're going to get all kinds of responses. All kinds of stuff is out there. I mean, some people, I mean, or even think about, well, what do people look like when they worship? I don't know, make the oddest face you can make, and that's what some of you look like today. What's worship supposed to look like? I don't know, sometimes it is serious. I know that. Absolutely. There's moments when the Lord comes on you, and it's just one of those very somber, reflective moments. But I believe worship is also praise the Lord. I believe it's okay to smile and laugh. I believe Jesus did. So what does it look like? Well, it looks like a lot of things. But you ask me, what is worship? Some people, if they talk about, well, you know, they talk about it. Well, singing is worship. And it can be, and sometimes it's really powerful worship, but so can praying. I tell you what, I've had some powerful worship moments just in here at this altar, just on my knees before the Lord, and all of a sudden God's there and there's something happening, and it's worship. Some people, when they talk about worship, it's like, well, you know, I've got to endure the preaching. That's what worship is. It's the preaching. No, it's not just the preaching. It's not just the singing. It's not just the prayer. Those are elements of worship. But worship is opening up our hearts to the Lord God Almighty and saying, here I am, Lord. I'm not much, but here I am. That's first base in worship. If we're going to worship the Lord and allow him to change us, we've got to open our hearts and let him have his way with us. And I got to tell you, when that happens, wow, you better hang on, because the Lord will quickly go to work on us. And by the way, worship isn't just what you watch. You're not an audience. That implies that you're just watching what's happening. You are a congregation. Now, as spiritual leaders, we have responsibilities to do our best to prepare our hearts that we can stand before you and lead you, whether in music or in word. That's part of my responsibility. That's part of what you expect from the pastor. You expect me to be in prayer and studying the word so that when Sunday morning and Sunday evening comes, that my heart will be ready to share what God has given to me. That's part of my responsibility. But folks, you've got an equal responsibility, not only to me, but to the Lord. You need to be as prepared to enter into the presence of the Lord that we together as God's congregation will be lifted up to his throne. Sometimes, you know, it's all of us. Worship isn't what happens up here. It's what happens all in here. It's our response. Our response, yes. Worship is our response to a holy and just God, and sometimes that should strike a holy fear into us to the deepest part of our soul, because we understand just how unholy and unjust that we are. That's some of the somber moments, okay? Boy, I'm not who I need to be. All right, but worship is also our response to a loving Heavenly Father that knows us so very well and yet continues to love us. I think there are a lot of Christians today that are literally dying on the vine. They've got a relationship with the Lord that's not going anywhere simply because they don't open their hearts up to God and let God begin to transform them and draw them closer to him. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Worship him and serve him. See, worship is sweet, but it always means change. And it frequently means we've got to repent so that God can align us with what he's about. See, worship reveals that it's not so much about how much that we love God, but how much that he loves us. And it's not supposed to be a burden, is it? It really isn't. I don't think that's why God, you know, hey, I've saved them and now I'm going to make their life miserable because every Sunday they got to come to church. I'm pretty sure that's not what God means by Sunday morning worship. All right? I believe it's something that's supposed to be pretty good for us. something that we can enjoy, something that we can look forward to, something that we can come to and know that we're going to experience God. But I'm afraid too often there's not much God going on in a lot of sanctuaries today. It's kind of like the story about the Texan that him and his wife went to England, and they went to one of those real high church places, you know, and everything was just everything, just in order and sequence. And this Texan, the preacher said something that day that he kind of liked, and he let go with one of those boisterous, hearty Texan, "Amen, preacher!" You know, the congregation gasped. In fact, the preacher stops. An usher from the back gets up, you know, like we got, and they run down that guy and taps him, sir, you mustn't say anything out loud in our church. And he said, but I got the Spirit. And I said, well, you didn't get it here, brother. I think there's a lot of that going on in a lot of church. You don't get it here, but we're supposed to get it here, aren't we? We're supposed to get it here. We are created in part, and I mean a big part, to worship God. And when we give ourselves to God, when we're not worried about what anybody else around us is thinking about it, when we just lay our lives open before the Lord and worship Him, it's really neat. And God draws us into His sanctuary, a place of protection and of refuge, a wildlife sanctuary, simply that. Animals are protected from human hunters. Well, this is not an auditorium. It's a sanctuary. It's devoted to God. And when we come in here, it's a place where we, in a very special way, enter into His presence. It's a sanctuary from life's busyness and problems and unfairness. To me, it's a lifeline. It's a lifeline. And yet so many come when we think about worship, and it's almost a take it or leave it mentality, isn't it? It's kind of like that idea, well, you know, it's optional. I mean, worship is okay, but it's optional. It's kind of like the pastor that got a letter. I made a copy of it. And he said, "Dear pastor," he said, you're always harping on this fact that as Christians we ought to be in worship service on a regular basis. He said, and I suppose I agree with most of that, but he said, I think there are lots of reasons why sometimes it's okay to miss. And by the way, I'm not talking about times when you really have to miss, by the way. But he starts this list of things. He said, I think it's okay to miss on Memorial Day because that's the beginning of summer and it's a holiday. You ought to be at the lake. It's okay to miss on Labor Day because it's the end of summer and you need to be at the lake. He said, if the kids are out of school, you ought to be able to miss. You know, family reunions, or if you stay up late on Sunday or Saturday night, you know, you shouldn't have to get up early because Sunday's your only day to sleep in. You know, if you're sick, you shouldn't have to go. If you're busy, you know, and you know, sometimes you get too busy. Vacation, bad weather. You know, if it's too bad, you shouldn't expect us to get out. And then, by the way, if it's good weather, we ought to be somewhere else rather than sitting in a church. And he said, you know, sometimes there's ball games. There's just unexpected company shows up, and we certainly can't bring them with us. Or if there's something like the Super Bowl on. And at the end of his letter, I love it, he said, okay, that leaves about 5 or 6 Sundays every year, Pastor, and you can count on us to be there. That take it or leave it mentality. As if what we're doing here doesn't matter. And folks, if we've stepped into the presence of God, it matters. And if you haven't stepped into the presence of God this morning, that's a serious thing. It's a serious, serious thing, and it is something that God invites us to do. We need worship. Worship is our time of escape from the harshness, the sin, and life. Because the truth is, life can be flat out hard sometimes. And most of us bear the marks of life and sin. But we come into this sanctuary. And in here we're reminded that God is God and that God is in control despite all the other nonsense, I'll use that word, that's going on out there. That God loves us no matter what. And you know what? If God is with us and if He's alive, then we can have the courage to be obedient and go forward. It's what we read last week. You know, be strong and courageous. Don't fear them. Don't be afraid because I am with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, God's love has the power to lift us above everything else that's going on around us. So worship is our time then to step out of all that is wrong, and there's plenty of that in the world. And then we get to step into to a place where we're reminded of the goodness and greatness of God. And that doesn't change us. There's a lot of nonsense in the world. Because sometimes our circumstances really don't change on the outside, but what changes is what happens on the inside of us. When we worship, when we step into the presence of Almighty God, we stop then looking at the problems, and I begin to start focusing on God. Because the truth is, if we spend all of our time looking at all the nonsense and wrong and evil in our world, then why not live in pessimism and fear? Because it's pretty bad out there. But if we keep our eyes on God and we know that God is God, then we know that there is every reason for us to live in anticipation of what God is going to do. When we worship God and when we love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, then what we find is God loves us so much that we know that we can count on God. Changes how we look at things and how we act. I mean, Job, think about that. And I don't know nobody likes to read that story. I don't like to read that. It's a terrible story for me. All right? And Job had no clue about what was going on and why it was happening to him. But I love what he said. Though he slay me, yet shall I hope in him. In other words, I don't know, and I can't figure out why on earth all this bad stuff is happening to me, but I'm not giving up on the Lord. I know that God is God. That's what Job was saying. See, worship is not optional. It's essential when it comes to faith and living a life of faith, and it's always been that way. Do you remember what God told Moses to tell Pharaoh? He said, "Let my people go that they may go and worship me." And do you remember what we just read? It's Jesus' word by, he said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him." See, worship is a place when it all comes together. Man, when we open ourselves up, we find out exactly who we are. And we find out why we are and how good life can be and how much that God does love us. And here's the thing. I don't care. At the end of the day, you can mark off 100 things off your to-do list. But if you have not moved closer to the Lord God Almighty, you've wasted your day. True worship changes us every time. Because you cannot step into the presence of God and stay the way that you are. And so we say, step into God's sanctuary. Open your life. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, it's true. It's true that when you do it, you'll never be the same. It's true that sometimes it'll require some confessing. It's true that sometimes some of those things that you've held on, you've got to turn loose of. It's true. But it's also true that when you open up your heart, your life with open hands before the Lord, he begins to fill your soul with things that are so wonderful and so great. You wonder, why don't I do this more often? The story is told about a young man that wanted to find God. And so he went to an old sage in the village that he lived in, and he simply said, "Help me find God. I want to know how to find God." And so the old sage said, "Well, walk with me." And so they took a walk, and as they were walking, they were talking, and they ended up at the river. And the sage said, "Let's go on into the river." And so they walk out into the river, and they get up about chest high, and without any warning, the old sage grabs the young man by the back of the neck and plunges him underwater and just holds him there. And because he caught him off guard, the young man couldn't fight. I mean, he was under there. He was just splashing, but he wasn't coming up because that old man had him. Held him under there for about a minute. Jerks him back out of the water, and now this young man's spitting and coughing and stuttering and trying to catch his breath. And the old sage said, "When you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else?" He said, "Well, I wanted you to let me go." And he said, No. "What did you want more than anything else?" He said, "Well, I wanted to breathe." And the old sage says, "When you want God more than you want to breathe, God you will find." I think there's truth to that story. When we really want God more than we want life itself, we won't have to go looking for God because God will be right there with us. God, this morning we come before you and we ask that you would give us sanctuary, not because we deserve it, but because you love us. And through your great love for us, may we find the courage now to open our hearts wide to you and allow you to begin to change us and to change our hearts. Lord, that we will embrace your mission and your purpose, not only for our lives, but yes, for our church. And God, we pray that you would help us, that we will want you more than we want to breathe itself. Help us now that we will open our hearts wide to you. Because, Lord, we know that we need you more than anything else. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, Jesus, worship the Lord your God and serve him, serve him. See, that's where it all begins. The question becomes, will we? Let's stand and sing.
After the challenge of that message, we invite you to turn with us to number 368. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. What we need to do is open to him. And may we truly open our hearts to say, Lord, I want to worship you more fully. I want to worship you more completely in all I do. And whether you come to this altar or you stay in the pew, I trust each of us will say, Lord, give me a true heart of worship. Committing all things to you. I want you more than life or breath. As we sing, you do what God wants you to. If you want to come to this altar and say, Lord, I give all to worship you fully. Or whether it's the sanctuary of your heart where you are, let's leave differently than we came today. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Sing it prayerfully. Think of the words we're saying. May be a part of our commitment today. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. Since my eyes together singing.
this? To the worship the Lord our God and serve him only.
Amen.
God bless you.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because we worship, we have his strength.